Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
We are back with some more Omicron after saying that we didn't want to talk about Omicron, what, a couple days back?
Yeah, that was our last message, but now we gotta address it again, Connor.
There have been some new developments, and what we're here to address is the conflicting information. On the one hand, you have news being published in major outlets and also things said by, I don't know, the head of the Center for Disease Control in the U.S., that so far, you know, even though we can't make definitive statements, it does not look like there's a great degree of severity to the Omicron variant and that fewer patients in hospitals are needing oxygen. It all sounds wonderful.
However, it is becoming the dominant variant in many parts of South Africa, where at the same time, the infection rates are rising.
And that is
concerning.
That's where you have to go and look to figure out what's really happening. And we're going to go now to someone who has her eye on that area of the world. Her name is Deepti Gurdasani, and she is an epidemiologist at the Queen Mary University of London.
Science Unscripted.
I'm Dr. Deepti Gurdasani. I'm a clinical epidemiologist at Queen Mary University of London.
So Deepti, you recently posted a Twitter thread. And it talked about, it started off with hopium, copium, and Omicron. I think we have to start off by talking about what you mean with the words hopium and copium. I think a lot of our listeners won't have heard those words before.
Sure. I mean, they weren't coined by me, but I think they're words that sort of describe the phenomena that we're all experiencing, where a lot of the seriousness of the pandemic and the threat posed by the pandemic has been potentially minimized by some groups, by governments, including scientists as well, and sort of refers to this sort of planning that we do for best case scenarios while we hope for the best, whereas, you know, not really dealing with the threats, which requires considering the worst case scenario. And I think part of that is an impact of having been in the pandemic and having dealt with, you know, various adversities for so long, in a way that's impacted all of us, that all of us are sort of looking for ways to cope and looking for hope. But unfortunately, always looking at the best case scenario means that we often don't prepare for the seriousness of the threats that are lurking.
So right now it's almost like we're on drugs. We're on these drugs, hopium and copium, and we're not looking at the worst case.
No, and this has been going on for a while. I mean, so many countries have this rhetoric from government, as well as many scientists, that after vaccination, life would return to normal. And we haven't seen that, even in countries with high rates of vaccination. And many scientists were warning about this, but were ignored because there was a very, very strong push that things would return to normal. And that wasn't ever going to reflect the reality of what was unfolding. And I really worry about this because I think, one, it undermines public trust. Two, it doesn't prepare people for what's going to happen. And a new variant emerging was always a possibility. And three, it means that we don't plan for things in line with the precautionary principle, which means act aggressively and early and often overreact rather than underreact, because underreacting always means that, you know, there will be avoidable deaths and suffering that is not needed.
The most recent threat, Omicron, it seems from what you were writing on Twitter that you think it's much more dangerous than I guess it's being considered at the moment. Where do you stand right now on this latest variant?
I think it is a major threat. I mean, I can just talk about what we know. And while there is uncertainty, what we know itself is concerning enough that we should be preparing for this. And what we know is that it's a variant that's risen very, very quickly to dominance in a matter of 2 weeks in Gauteng province in South Africa. It's been associated with very high surge in cases, so cases that are doubling every 3 days, and the hospitalizations seem to be doubling every week.
What data are you working with specifically? Because I think that's a major question right now. A lot of things are being said all over the world, but the central question is, what data are you working with?
So I'm working with the data that's being put out by the NICD and, you know, coming out from official sources in South Africa, which I think are the most reliable. I am paying less attention to things like anecdotes. So preprint data, surveillance data that's coming out, that's telling us about case numbers, positivity rates, hospitalizations, and the nature of those hospitalizations. Because what I find is you hear a lot of anecdotes from different people, and they're often internally inconsistent, which has led to this sort of narrative that this is mild, but without any real evidence. And I think we need to move away from that and look at actual data and plan according to the data that's coming out rather than individual anecdotes from people.
Some of the latest news in terms of headlines, what I think most people are being exposed to is this idea that perhaps this variant is in the end more mild, that there are fewer hospitalizations compared to the number of people being infected, even though the infections are happening faster, and that anecdotally, less oxygen being used on patients.
Yeah.
But you strike a very different tone in your tweets. You don't see this as rosily.
No. So, I mean, it is true that the severity indices of people being admitted have been lower, but hospitalizations have been rising rapidly. So I think you have to understand that the impact of something that is causing potentially less severe disease can be very high when it's highly transmissible or very fit and spreads very quickly across the population, because spread happens on an exponential scale, which can affect many, many people. And even if individually it means that their risk might be low or many of them might not require oxygen, at population level, something like that could easily overwhelm health services, if that makes sense. So the data that we are seeing so far is that in older age groups, the severity of admissions is lower, but in younger age groups, the severity is actually higher, with more children, for example, requiring oxygen. And that's worrying because you're sort of seeing the dual picture. And part of that might be that younger people, you know, get infected early when variants spread because they, you know, have a higher level of contact, and over time it spreads to other age groups. Or it could be that vaccines that, you know, are taken up more in older age groups have a greater effect. So it might be a sign that vaccines are doing, at least to some extent, what they're supposed to do. But the truth is that we won't really know until we give it more time, because we know that there's a sort of lag between cases and hospitalizations and deaths, and also spread from younger age groups into older age groups.
So if hopium and copium aren't right in your eyes, what should the world be doing to best prepare for Omicron right now?
So I think we need to plan for the serious threat that this is. And what we observe so far is hospitalizations are rising rapidly in Gauteng and in South Africa. And while the severity in some age groups might be lower, the sort of rises we are seeing can overwhelm the health system fairly quickly. In fact, the South African Ministry of Health said a while ago that they're working to increase pediatric ICU capacity because they think they will need it. And governments don't do that trivially. Similarly, in the UK, we're on track for this variant to become dominant over the next 3 weeks because it's growing very, very rapidly. So countries with higher levels of vaccination who think they may be exempt from this are absolutely not and should be planning. And by planning, what they need to be doing is alongside slowing down spread by instituting strong quarantine and pre-travel screening protocols from all over the world, not from specific countries, working to reduce transmission within countries. And that's through mask mandates with high-grade masks, through ventilation, and particularly mitigations in classrooms where previous variants have spread very, very rapidly and where a lot of spread is happening in Western Europe, alongside boosting the population as quickly as possible to provide maximal protection against a variant that might have some escape against vaccines, and extending vaccination to children.
And Deepti, from an epidemiological perspective, you have seen enough data to justify those measures at this point?
Absolutely. I mean, irrespective of how mild or severe this might be, it's very, very clear that such a rapidly growing variant could easily overwhelm hospitals. And I think that we need to protect against. And what we need to be doing now is actually preparing. Countries need to be preparing for that, including increasing hospital capacity where it's needed. Because every variant so far has been a game changer. It's changed the shape of the pandemic. And Omicron looks like the fittest variant we're seeing yet. And this whole idea of, you know, if it's a bit milder than Delta, that will somehow mean that it can spread through the population without causing harm is not based on any evidence at all.
Just to try and sum up your argument, or what I think your argument is, it is that this variant either has higher transmissibility or higher immune escape or both, and that even if it's not wildly more severe, the infection, it's just a numbers game. You're going to have so many more people infected so quickly that it's going to overwhelm our healthcare systems.
Yes, sorry, that's exactly what I'm saying. So it is a variant that's fitter because we know it's spreading much faster than Delta. And the fitness is coming either from escape from immunity or from higher transmissibility, or as you say, both. It is truly a numbers game because the growth of the pandemic is exponential. So when you talk about severity, it happens on a linear scale, not on an exponential scale. So even if you have a variant that's, let's say, half the severity of Delta, if it's half as more transmissible, ultimately it's going to cause many, many, many more deaths just because of the sheer number of people who will be impacted by it and overwhelm healthcare services. So mildness is just one aspect of this variant, and I don't think we have enough evidence to tell us that it's mild yet. But the transmissibility or the fitness per se can cause enough damage.
You have seen some of the data on children being hospitalized in South Africa and are viewing this, yeah, you know, through the eyes of an epidemiologist. And yet you're also talking to us from your home with your daughter, as I understand it, who is currently being homeschooled by you because there are so many infections at her school. How concerned are you about the rise in the number of children being hospitalized?
I'm extremely concerned. I mean, 11% of hospital admissions have been in under twos. This is not a pattern that we've seen before. I mean, certainly the demographic makeup of Gauteng in South Africa, very different to many Western European countries. But that in itself does not account for the large numbers of admissions that have been more severe than in previous waves as well in young children under five. And that's something that we need to keep a very, very close eye on, and also look into how we can protect those children from infection, because mitigations in schools, daycares, and vaccination of younger children is not something that a lot of countries have been prioritizing recently.
And again, that was Deepti Gurdasani. She was talking to us from Cambridge.
Yeah, with her children at home, very concerned.
And yeah,
a trained epidemiologist, that itself is concerning. It seems like this thing has gone on for so long. It is hard to take it seriously.
At this point, I know what you mean. That's why I wanted to mention what she wrote: hopium and copium. Kind of a funny, almost, you know, throwaway word there, but there's something very, very serious in that, because I'm doing it too. I want to believe that Omicron's not bad. I want to latch onto the good news. I want to not imagine yet again a situation where our hospitals are overwhelmed and where a lot of the measures that we all hate have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And what it comes down to is not necessarily how you, especially if you're vaccinated or have been infected, those cases may be relatively mild. They may be okay. But the sheer spread of this variant may still mean that we're at a societal level in trouble again.
It's leading to rising infection rates in South Africa, and it has already become the dominant variant. That alone, and think about that, it is causing higher infection rates.
Yeah. And again, you can debate, or we don't know yet, whether it's because it's just more transmissible or because it has access to more of the population that Delta didn't, which is the vaccinated or previously infected group. It's doing better there. Debate that all you want. It's spreading so quickly that there are just going to be too many people infected. That's what it looks like at this point. That's why the really stark.
And that's what you meant there, and that's what she meant with numbers game.
Yeah.
Regardless of those two aspects, it's going to mean more people needing urgent medical care. Regardless.
Correct. Because if you have 100 people infected and 10 needed urgent medical care with Delta, and you have 100 people infected and only 7 of them need medical care with this variant, well, what if that second group, instead of being 100, is 1,000?
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Okay.
Again, this is where we stand right now on Omicron. This data is all very fresh. Sample sizes, the samples, the number of people being investigated is small. The numbers will change over time. But this is, I guess, the message is, don't get too optimistic yet.
I'll take that with a grain of salt, because Connor, I have to go. I have to go pick up my kids right now.
You have to leave, actually.
Right now.
Okay, that's it for today. Gabe's walking out of the studio.
Later.
If you have anything else to say on Omicron or have any extra data that we should look at that we haven't yet, please get in touch with us. We are su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.
Get your audio levels set in the right way. Can you tell us about the weather in Cambridge today?
Yes, it's absolutely miserable, gray and rainy, like it always is here.
Can we put that in the outtakes?
Yeah, please.